1 John 5, verses 13. And we're going to just look at this verse and then a couple of other verses in 1 John, actually a number of verses in 1 John, because when you look at 1 John, you have these, you could say, markers to know whether you are in the faith and whether you have faith, whether you have saving faith. So we will start at 1 John 5, and I think just another comment is that all the Greek students will know 1 John better now, and because they are memorizing a lot of these text verses, and I personally love 1 John a lot, and it has a lot to say as the rest of the word, a lot to say for our time, in our churches, in our lives. So let's read this verse from 1 John 5, verses 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the purpose of 1 John. The purpose of 1 John is that you may know that you have eternal life. And beginning in the beginning of that verse, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this verse will serve as an encouragement and to believers. And it will serve as a motivation also for Christians to progress in holiness. And that's the purpose of 1 John. But we must also know that we must then test ourselves by these markers, characteristics in 1 John, whether we are in the faith. Now, if someone comes to you and they ask you, how do you know that you love your wife, or how does your wife know that you love her? Now, you could say that you love your wife and you love other people, but that's only words, and that's not enough. Words is not enough. And your wives, or those that have kids, and those other people you know, will tell you that words aren't enough. It is works. You show by your works that you love someone. It will be measured by the time you spent with them. It will be measured by what you share with them, emotional stuff you share with them, wisdom you share with them. That's how they will know that you love them. It is works. Now, how do you know that you have eternal life then? How do you know that you have saving faith? How do you know that you are regenerated? How do you know that you are born again? How do you know that? We can profess it. You know, I and you probably know of many people that do profess Christ, but how do we know that they are really saved? You know, Jesus taught us that it's by the fruit that we know that the tree is good. If you have good fruit, you have a good tree. If you have bad fruit, you have a bad tree. So that's why also in 2 Corinthians 13 verses 5, it also says, they examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You can say you believe, but test whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So test whether Christ is in you. How do we test that? How do we know that? It's not just a profession of faith. You might say that I believe that Christ died on the cross. And you can actually say that very convincingly so that everybody thinks you are saved. You can even sing the songs with people. You can even pray with people. You can be involved at the church. But do you really have saving faith? Or do you say that you believe because you think that's the best thing to do? Is that the reason why we say that we believe? Are we afraid of family and friends, that what they might think of us? Is that the reason why we say we believe? And now, And now, in James 2, verses 17, again we have this verse that says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So again, so you have here that James says that if you do not show you are a Christian, you're not a Christian. So here we must actually look at the correct markers whether we are in the faith. Are we scared of people? That's why we say we are in the faith. We do the stuff because that's how we grew up. We do the church thing because that's the best thing to do. But what is the markers? Because you have to have works. We are not saved by works, but we are actually saved to good works. We are not saved by works, but we have a faith that works. Faith is a gift. It's a gift. But that gift works out in the Christian life. But how does it look like? So we know it's not to be afraid of people. We don't know it. We know it's not to do the stuff in the church because that's the good thing to do. You know, even the devils, they know Christ. And actually, they profess Christ. They say Christ did actually die on the cross for sins. That's what they profess as well. So 1 John 3 verses 18. And now we're just going to look at 1 John. So now you can turn to 1 John 3 verses 18. And this links onto James 2 verses 17. And there it says in 1 John 3 verses 18, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So it's not just talking, but it's doing. Okay. So now 1 John will give us now the markers. It will give us assurance of faith that can be for Christians. But now we must honestly ask ourselves, do we have the following markers in 1 John? Okay. Do we have what 1 John say? And if you do, then you have assurance of faith. If you don't, you must honestly and seriously consider whether you are in the faith. Okay, so let's look at the first verse, 1 John 1 verses 6. This is the first marker that we're going to look at today. 1 John 1 verse 6 says, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So what this verse says is that if someone looks at you, will they be able to say that you are someone of the light or someone of the darkness? Will someone say you are a guy that the people think, and they actually know you to be a guy that or a girl that is swearing? Do they, when they look at you, do they say, "Well, this person is a person that gossips a lot"? Is your words that build up, or does it actually break down people? Does it slander people? Are you known by that? So this is the first marker. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So will people say that you walk in the light? Then go to 1 John 1 verses 9, just a couple of verses on. And it says there, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, this is probably the primary marker, I would say, of Christians in your works with regard to God. In your works with regard to God. And this is is your confessing of sins. And This we can only personally say. Do you confess your sins to God? We all have sin. Do you confess your sin to God? So in prayer, when you pray, are you asking God for a lot of stuff, but you're not confessing your sin? Okay. When you realize at the end of the day, I am a sinner, you confess your sin. When you start the day, you know you will be sinning, and you know you've sinned a lot. You will confess your sin, because you know you in yourself deserve the eternal wrath of God. Do you confess your sin? That's a very personal question, and that only you can answer. Do you confess your sin? You don't have to page to this verse. It's further on 1 John. 1 John 3 verses 6 says, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." Now, this verse doesn't say, this is actually important, this verse doesn't say that you won't sin. What this verse is saying, because this is a lot of times a confusing sentence and verse in 1 John, is that what this verse is saying is that when you sin and somebody comes to you, for example, and say, "Listen, the way you're talking to people is not what Jesus told us how to talk." And when you harden your heart against that, that is when you keep on sinning. That's the problem. It's that sin that keeps on doing that sin, although you know it's wrong. That's the problem. Because we all sin. But Christians don't keep on sinning a known sin for their entire life. That doesn't happen. So you repent of that sin. You confess that sin. Because obviously when you confess that sin to God, then obviously you will realize that sin and you will put on Christ more. You will slay the old man and put on the new man constantly. The next marker is you love God's commandments. And we know that's summarized in the Ten Commandments. 1 John 2 verses 3 to 6. And we can read that together. 1 John 2 verses 3 to 6. This is the marker. You love God's commandments. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, and in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Do you love God's commandments? So you don't do it to be a good person. This is very important. Because you know, you can read the Ten Commandments and you can read all the imperatives in the New Testament, the way you must talk, the way you must deal with people. But you do it because you love what God is saying to you, or do you do it because you think it's a good thing to do it? 1 John 3, verses 24, that also speaks about this, your love for God's commandments, is whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Because when you love God's commandments, you know the Spirit is in you. Because you have that willingness now to follow what he says. Following the willingness also to change. And the last verse that tells us how we know that we are saved, that we are regenerated, and that we love God's commandments is 1 John verses 3 of chapter 5. 1 John 5 verses 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Are not burdensome. Do you feel God's commandments are heavy? then it's a problem. God's commandments aren't heavy. It's something you want to do. You love them. Okay, next marker in 1 John is, do you love the things of the world more than Jesus? Do you love the things of the world more than Jesus? Now, page 2, 1 John 2, verses 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How do I know I love the world and not the world? Well, do you like and you love the movies the world loves? Do you love the books the world loves? Do you love the way the world talks? Your family that's not Christian, the way they talk, do you love to do that? Do you speak like they speak? That's the question. If you go outside there, would you say, I am different than people out there because I don't love the things of the world. I don't love the things they love. Another marker, love your brother. Do you love your brother in Christ? So let's go there to 1 John 3 verses 10. This is the biggest marker in 1 John. Do you love other Christians? 1 John 3 verses 10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. This is now the primary mark of Christians with regards to other people. So confessing of sins to God. And obviously that will also flow out to confessing of sins to other people. But how do we know that we are of God? And that is if we love our brothers. If we love other Christians. A couple of verses on, just hear this verse. Verses 1 John 3 verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So this is a gospel issue. Am I irritated with people in a church? Do I think I'm always right, they always wrong? Do I actually when I go to church, I don't actually want to go to church. I just want to hear the message and hit the road. Do I really want to speak to other Christians, learn from them? Do I love them? Do I really want them into my house? And the reason why it's a gospel issue is, verse 16 again, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Christ, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, he came and he laid down his life for us. That's love. Or do we really want to go only to church because we think we will only go to church when things are going according to what I say, when I feel good and when people care for me? Am I laying down my life for them? 1 John 4 verses 20. And this is actually from 1 John 3 verses 10 to 1 John 4 verses 20. This love for brothers is the main theme here. 1 John 4 verses 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's powerful. If you don't love your brother who you can see with your eyes, how will you love God who you can't see? That's powerful. That's very powerful. And in the cultures we live, we must actually ask this question. If you have a white Christian and you have a black Christian, does the white Christian love the black Christian more than his own blood family? His own blood family that's not Christians. And the same with the black Christian. Does the black Christian love his brother in Christ, the white Christian, more than his own blood? His own community? So this is a question we must all ask, especially in the times we live in, you know? With all the political unrest and everything, we must ask this question honestly, because it's a marker of whether you are Christian. Do we love each other more than our own families? Christians, I mean Christians. Obviously the word says we must care for our physical family. That's important. That's important. But do we love Christians more than we love our own families? One John 4 verses 10. Just to emphasize this, the love of Christ, how that plays out into our brotherly love, is 1 John 4 verses 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This plays out in our Christian life towards other Christians. Do you love Christians, other Christians, with all their faults and baggages? So, these are some of the tests in 1 John. So, use these tests to see whether you are in the faith. If there is no desire for these things in your life, then you are in tremendous trouble. The wrath of God is over you. And the only solution to get that desire, to do these things in 1 John, is to go to Christ. That's the only option. Because he will save you from that wrath. By the Spirit, you will then get that desire to follow these markers in 1 John. And if these markers, these characteristics are in your life, then be very grateful. But you haven't arrived. Nobody has arrived. Because we must confess our sins. And we want to grow in them because we are not perfect. Then be assured, if these desires are in your heart, but only we personally can determine that. Christ died for sinners and enemies. And he came to live among enemies. He died alone on that cross. Everybody left him. He did that for us, so that we might not be alone. So that we might be one of his children. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this letter and these markers, to know whether we are in Christ. And when we see these markers, we know as Christians we fail and we have sin. And thank you that you are saying that we must confess our sins, and that what Christ did for us on the cross changes our whole life, our whole outlook on life. And that you've brought us into this family. And that we can now start loving your commandments, start loving each other, and start hating what the world has to offer, and start loving what you have to offer. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for what you've done on the cross. Thank you for the knowledge that we know that He has taken Your wrath. And those that believe in Christ will never taste that wrath. We praise You for that. We praise You for Your love that You've shown to us. Might that also work out into our whole life. How we talk, how we walk, what we do in our families, where we work, where we study, how we behave when we're driving, our thoughts, that we can, the more we grow in this Christian life, the more we will slay the sins that are still cleaving to us. We thank You for your Spirit that work that desire in us. We praise You for that. Please bless also this college and all the studies, that everything be to the praise of Your name and independence to You. We praise You for all the good work You are doing amongst us and in our country, the gospel that is preached, and might it be preached more and more according to Your word, and might Christ be preached so that people can be saved for eternal life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.